Morning. I don't know how many of you are in the mood to hear this sermon, but I know I was, and so we're going to hear it today because I don't know how many of you go through a dry spell, but when it comes to your faith, it can happen. And I know we don't want to probably admit to it. We all want to try to look and say, yeah, I've got it all together at all times, but if we're honest, most of us probably have even had strong and long periods of dry times. We probably all come to a place of needing to be motivated to get back on track even. And I would love to stand before you and tell you that that's not the case for me, but that's not the case. It really is difficult at times. And truth be told, it happens more often than I like. And I know a lot of people might struggle when it comes to life circumstances being difficult, you know, when things are kind of falling apart at the seams. But I want to be real honest with you here. That's when I draw a lot closer to God. That's when I find myself relying on Him to carry me through because I have nothing that's going to be brought to the table that's going to help me through. But the most dangerous time for me is when everything seems good. When everything is seemingly well. And I'm not saying I lose my faith in good times. I mean, I can glorify good or God in those times. I can say, man, God, you are good. But if I'm not motivated kind of on leaning into Him, if I'm not motivated to dig into His Word, what I find is I begin this journey, and it's a slow journey and it's a long journey, but it's one that begins to distance myself from God. If an athlete were not motivated to train, they would look like the Royals. No, they would pay dearly, right? If an actor or an actress didn't study their lines, I mean, when it came time to film, they would look silly. We are likely then to be the same way. If we are not motivated to lean into God, if we are not motivated to dig into His Word, if we're not motivated to come to Him and say, forgive me, to be repentant, if we're not motivated to glorify His name in the good and in the bad, this is the journey that begins to struggle. And it's one of faith. And when we lack motivation to lean in, we greatly risk a spiritual unhealthiness. In this section of Proverbs that we're going through today, we find Solomon pressing into his son the need to stay motivated. He desires his son to grow to be a man of God and a man of godly wisdom. But in order to be a man of godly wisdom, then he would need to remain vigilant in his pursuit of God. And it seems pretty straightforward and concise, and we're all going to go, yep, that makes sense. But when you and I, when we came into or were coming into our relationship with Jesus, what we did is we actually began to form a covenant relationship with God. And this is very similar to like that of a marriage with God. In marriage, there are commitments, and we make them with one another, and it is no different with God. We are in a marital covenant with our Savior. So today what we're going to look at is we're going to look at that side of the commitments for us and what they look like we are to do. And then we're going to look at God's side of the commitment and what He does. And then finally we're going to look at the timing of God's commitment. First things first though is we're going to read through this passage this morning, and then I'm going to ask God to simply just take and bless our time, to bless our ears, to bless our minds, and may His Spirit fall on us today. Because I believe as we dig into this word, and it is a very good word, it's a very truthful word, but it is an impactful word. The more impactful it is, the more the enemy is going to fight against you. But I also believe if we allow it to impact us the way that we are supposed to, we will leave here drawing close to Him. We will leave here wanting to draw close to Him. And if you don't leave here wanting to draw close to Him, it has nothing to do with me. See, His word can be spoken. And He can even be spoken poorly. And He can work. Amen? So if you're lacking the motivation, dig into Him. Let's go ahead and read through our passage. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3. And a lot of this, you're going to go, well, yeah, we know, we get this. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, it says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will be added to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And in all ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and your first fruits of all your produce. And then your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father, the son in whom he delights." Let's ask him to join us today. Father, we come into your presence. Lord, there are so many variances in this room right now, different areas of life and different parts of life. Some of us struggling greatly and mightily. Some of us, Lord, it feels like we're kind of coasting by and life is easy. But Lord, your truth remains steadfast and true. Every time it is spoken, it is to change lives, and it's no different today. Lord, meet us where we're at, please. Holy Spirit, fall on us. Give us strength. Give us wisdom. Bring us into an insight that maybe we've never understood before. And Lord, it's my prayer that as we hear truth, Lord, that we would become people who become purveyors of that truth, that we would go out and share this truth. More importantly, Lord, that we would live it, that we'd be consistent with what we hear. If we are shaking our head, yes. If we are saying amen, God. If we are in agreement with it, may it not just be in thought and words, but in life. And if you bring us to a place of repentance today, may we repent and receive your grace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So after reading through this passage, we should be able to see, it's an interesting thing that took place. We see in the odd verses that these are centered around our obligations. Essentially what they point out to is this, our first point this morning, is that we are to keep on keeping on. We're to keep on keeping on. And what that means is this, if we're going to keep on living this healthy relationship with God, if we're going to live in a healthy relationship with God, we're going to have to keep on keeping on, meaning this, that we need to be a people who take what God's word teaches and that we continuously apply it to our lives. Solomon begins right off the bat telling his son, "My son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments." Now, I want to point this out because it'd be easy to overlook. Let's not forget, this is the king of Israel speaking to the crown prince, right? This is important because this is the next in line. If there's anybody here that doesn't understand where I'm coming, I make mention of this because this is easily someone that we could look past. This is easily someone that could get a pass in life. I mean, the prince, his dad's king. I mean, he could get away with probably anything he wanted. And yet Solomon is very clear with him. Keep my teachings. Obey those commands. Keep them close to your heart. So what would that teaching mean? What would it be? Essentially, it's this, the Torah, or what they would call the commands of God. Solomon is teaching his son, look, if you want to be filled with godly wisdom, I want you to be filled with godly wisdom. So if you want to be filled with godly wisdom, and if you want to walk in that godly wisdom, then you need to keep the commands of God that I've taught you. We've seen throughout Proverbs, there's a strong connection between the law and wisdom. If you look in Deuteronomy, you see a lot of the law. In Deuteronomy 4, it teaches keeping the commands of God is the source of Israel's wisdom. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's telling parents, look, You need to know these things, and then you need to teach these things to your children. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it's telling kings, look, you need to be a man of the laws of God. So in his teaching to his son, in that one little line, there is so much impact, right? Look at that. He's saying, look, you got to do these things because I'm obeying everything that God has told me to do. I've taught them to you. I've brought them up to you. You say you want to live in it. Keep them close to you. But there is a key component in all of this. You cannot obey what you don't know. You've heard me say that a lot. You cannot obey what you don't know. You cannot obey what you do not digest. You cannot obey what you do not internalize. These must be transformation things that take place in us. And from the inside. See, we see him address his son to hold them in his heart. And then in verse 3, if you look at the same sentiment, he says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. I mean, this solidifies we are in a covenant relationship with God. And this is important because this is the theme of Scripture. Our relationship with God must be right. We are in a relationship with him. We bring something to the table, and he brings something to the table. If we're going to keep on keeping on, there must be an inward to outward transformation that takes place, and it cannot be a modification of behavior. Behavior modification is great. I love when people that were bad start looking good. But behavior modification says, I can control this. I control me. I got this. Born again, regeneration, that's a changing from the inside to the out. It points to God and says, God, I cannot obey or do or follow any of these things without you being in control of my life. And so we can change behavior all day long, but you're just going to keep returning to who you used to be. As the New Testament says, a dog returns to its vomit. See, regeneration is lasting. Regeneration is covenantal. Regeneration is being changed. Not perfect. You will sin. You will continue to sin. But all of a sudden, something inside of you says, I can't keep doing this. So how in the world do you do it? I mean, if you look at verses 5 and 7 with me, he says this, first, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And then in verse 7, he says, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This is the key to wisdom, friends, right here. It is so, I don't even know if we have to talk about wisdom anymore. It is right there. Trusting God and not yourself. Man, that is so key. Wisdom starts with recognizing that you do not have it. Got that? You ain't got it. I ain't got it. I blew it yesterday. I blew it this morning. I do not have it. And looking at God and saying, God, give me humility. Fill me up with your my humility. I need to remove the selfish pride because I want your wisdom. See, trusting in myself, and I do it a lot. I told you as early as this morning, trusting myself. Trusting what I think is right almost always wrecks me. Almost every single time. We cannot continue to step foot back into Eden, but that's where we run. See, that's where this all began, right? Isn't it? When Adam and Eve trusted their own wisdom, they made foolish choices, right? There used to not be death. There used to not be pain with childbirth. There used to be a time where animals, all animals. I always wanted a tiger growing up. And that's what I want to talk to Adam and Eve about, because I didn't get to own one, because they want to kill me. Fear God, yes. But when you're fearing God, that means you're trusting him, right? Trust him, submit to him, and he will make you filled with wisdom. Solomon then gives what I believe some of the greatest practical examples to his son. You want to learn to be free from self? Give of your first fruits. Honor Him with your possessions. Honor Him with your times. Honor Him with your efforts. Don't give Him your leftovers. Give from the top. Verse 9, he says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of, very key word, all your produce. When we do this, we are practically demonstrating our gratitude in what He has given us and saying that we trust He's going to continue giving to us. And this is a big leap for many. Let me tell you something. This is a big leap for me. It's saying, I trust you're going to continue to provide. And it's a good segue into His side of the covenantal relationship with us, and that's this, that God rewards our keeping on. God rewards every single time. I want to make sure you understand that. I think you could put that word in there if you want. God rewards, always rewards our keeping on. Now hang with me, because some of you are going to want to battle with this here in a minute. That's okay. We'll address it. Now even in the even verses we see, opposed to the odd verses are us, the even verses are Him, we see how God figures into this relationship. God wants us to keep on, and He rewards our keeping on. God is faithful, amen? And throughout all the Scripture, God is faithful. He loves rewarding His people, especially when they're leaning into Him, and oftentimes when they're running away from Him. God is a faithful God. Take a look at His response. We're going to look at His response in verse 2, and verse 4, and 6, and 8, and then at 10. But this is His response to our covenant. Verse 2, for the length of days and years of life and peace, it will be added to you. Verse 4, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Verse 8, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. And then verse 10, look, you keep on keeping on, and then your barns are going to be filled with plenty, and your vats are going to be bursting with wine. Ultimately, what Solomon is teaching here is this, that God wants you to have eternal life, and He wants you to have an abundant life. Overall, that's what He wants for you. I don't know if you get that or not. See, I want that badly. I pursue it, and I stray often. And when we keep striving to live for self, you know what we do, don't you? We cut ourselves off short of what God wants for us. So again, I want to remind you, wisdom is about a right relationship with God and others. Verse 6 then gives the promise of the Lord to make our paths straight. It says that He will give divine direction and divine protection to our daily lives on the right path. The picture of all these verses is that wisdom reverses our screw-ups. Wisdom reverses the curse of sin. Wisdom reverses the curse of death. Wisdom reverses the curse of sickness. Wisdom is restoring the relationship with God that He intended in the beginning. So obey God, right? Obey God, we get that. Yes, Derek, I get it, I get it. And some of you, you're battling, it's okay, I want you to battle. Obey God in the odd verses, and in return you get reward in the even verses. But this raises an important question. Is this really true? Oh, now that's, hold on. You just shook the apple cart a little bit. What about when things don't work out this way? What about when you do fully believe? What about when you live faithfully and things keep, well, they just keep falling apart? What about when you get sick? What about when you get laid off? What about when that one you've been praying for over and over and you've been faithful to it dies anyway? What about when you keep on suffering in all of your faithfulness? And so that leads to our final point. Our reward is not always now. Well, thanks for the gut punch. Bear with me, okay? There's a lot of important truth for us to hear to end out. God promises. Did Jesus raise from the dead? Did He promise a Savior for us? Did Jesus defeat death? Did He say, I'm going to come back in 3 days? So when God promises something, I tend to lean into that. God promises to hold up his end of the deal. And let's be honest, he holds up his end of the deal way better than we do our own, right? Man. So when it is all falling apart, when people are dying that we're praying for, when we're being faithful, when we're giving 20% of our first fruits, when we're going crazy living for God, when we're going to Africa, when we're going to Zimbabwe, when we're going to South America, and we're loving people to the Lord, when we're doing all these things, and yet things just keep falling apart at the seams, is God really still being faithful? Because it sure doesn't feel like it. I mean, when I'm serving him to the fullest, and I mean really going after him, and yet in return I feel like the wind keeps getting knocked out of me over and over. Is he being faithful? Listen to what Solomon told his son in verses 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Now this is one that people don't ever want to hear. They don't like to hear. They will wrestle with. You're probably wrestling with yourself, myself included in this. Our sin has consequences. And while the greatest reward we have as a believer is to be free from the penalty of death, it does not mean that God does not allow us to feel the weight of the consequences of our sins. Right? Look, don't get mad at God when he allows there to be consequences for your actions. Don't. He allows us reproof because, as the old saying goes, he allows us reproof because he loves us. How are we ever going to learn without the discipline or the consequences for our actions? See, if you want wisdom, you have to have correction. Without correction, we are destined to steer almost always right back to destruction. And even with wisdom, we go that way, don't we? But I also want to say this. Now, you thought that was unpopular. Let me get a little more unpopular with you this morning. That's where I like to be when people are mad when they leave church. Sometimes God allows, not gives, not punches us. Sometimes God allows suffering, not for punishment, for sin, but to actually produce us to maturity and bring about maturity. I want you to hear that. It's important. Sometimes it has nothing to do with what you've done. Sometimes you get gut punched, right? Sometimes life falls apart and you have been faithful. And something falling apart at the seams. Look, the most personal reflection that I have in my own life is watching Jonah battle through his sickness every single day. It's something new. This is not a woe is me. We don't even let him stay in the woe is me. But when Jonah is battling through his hardships, we can't help believe that God is making him strong. Let me give you an example. For 2 years, I watched this kid battle. 7-8 people hold him down to give him a shot to draw blood. Didn't matter. Now, every 2 weeks, his dad is giving him a shot. And then we take him to Kansas City and they give him 3. Every 2 weeks, this is what he gets. And he just sits there and he takes it. As a dad giving the injection, I'm shaking. Don't like doing it. I used to do it for years. Terrifies me. That's my boy. It's his skin. This is a needle. He lets me do it. How'd that happen? Over and over he battled through this. I watch him get sick when nothing around him is sick. I watch him be in the safest environment he could be and he gets allergies. I don't get it. I don't understand. Now pause there for a minute, because I'm a firm believer that much of the evil and the bad in this world is simply because the world is evil. I do believe that. But that's not the whole story, is it? Sometimes God, and we teach this to Jonah daily, sometimes God allows hardships to prepare us for something even greater. Something even harder. And it may not feel like he's loving. And it may not feel like he's there for you. And it may not feel like he's on his side. But nothing, nothing could be further from the truth. His allowing us to suffer some hardships is to prepare us for something greater. Some greater battles are ahead. He knows they're coming. He sees before me. He is removing my blind spots by being there way ahead of the ball game. And he says he's going to need some help. Now that's love. That's love. He's not fighting my battles for me all the time in the way I want him to, but sometimes he is giving me more strength and more shield than I ever understood. So yes, friends, God always rewards. Catch that. He always, always, always rewards, but that does not mean that he will give us what we want when we want. But he always, always, always provides what we need when we need it. So sometimes we receive the reward now, and sometimes God's molding and preparing. Ultimately, we receive the reward because of Jesus, right? Right? You see, none of us have ever been or will ever be perfectly obedient. You know my favorite word in Scripture, right? You've heard me say it a lot, but I love that word, but the perfect love and life and obedience and sacrifice of Jesus is a representation before God the Father saying, I stand in the gap for their unperfectness. He lived up to what our obligations were. He lived up and stood in our commitments. And he took the curse of us breaking the covenant. And he stood in that place and he experienced sickness and he experienced sorrow and he experienced enemies and he experienced a premature death for us. And he offers a full pardon to all who believe in him, to all who repent, to all who give their lives to him. His righteous record of keeping the covenant is credited to the account of all who are united to him in faith. And as a result of our faith in him, we receive and experience blessings of this covenantal faithfulness by his merits and not our own. So there it is. And that's Christianity. And your Christianity, hear me, your Christianity has never been about keeping the rules in order for God to save you. I don't care how much you give, how much time you put in. There's no rules and no amount that pays that off. Christianity, following Christ, being a believer, is about God who saves you through his Son. Amen? God saving you. God rescuing you. And then he molds you. He can find you. He refines you and he molds you into the image that he wants you to be, so that you can live the life that he wants you to live. So have you made that commitment? I'm being sincere when I ask this question. This isn't pastor time at the end. This isn't a time where, okay, good, we're at the end. We can start wrapping up, close our Bibles. We know we're getting close. The roast is ready to go. This is sincere. This may be your last opportunity if you've never done it before. I don't say that to scare you. I just say that as direct truth. Have you made that commitment to Jesus yet? Sincerely. Have you repented? Have you believed? Have you began living your life for him? And if not, why not? Because I promise you, there is no reason you can give me that is a validating reason. The most rapid response I get from people when I ask that question and they haven't, you know what the most common response is? And it's quick response. I'm not sure I'm ready. I don't completely understand. You don't have to. He's got it all figured out. He says, come to me as you are, not knowing what you don't know. Man, oh man. And you'll be in paradise. How in the world do we walk out of here each week hearing these truths and respond in such a way that our week looked just like the week before? and the week before, and the week before. You know how? Because we allow our life circumstances to dictate how we act, don't we? I do. We don't have to. He has been in pursuit of you from the beginning of time. I picture God creating this world and had you in mind. He knew I would give this moment for you to respond. And He knows every one of you who are going to come after Him in the time appointed and when you're going to reject or accept or whatever it may be. He just wants to love you. So, maybe you need to come to a place of repentance. Maybe you need to come to a place where you're just simply outwardly saying, I believe. Maybe you need to profess your faith. Maybe you're just dealing with some stuff that's nasty and gross and you don't want people to see it. Maybe you want to get rid of it. Oh, man, why do you ignore these opportunities? Don't. I mean, I love God, don't you? I love that He takes us in our jacked up mess and He loves us anyway. And I've walked enough life with you guys to know we don't have it all together, including me. So right where you are, would you just make a commitment to giving Him praise right now? Thanking Him for what He has blessed you with, even though you may find it hard to see the blessing. Maybe obediently just saying, thank you, God, even though I don't know what that's for. Would you do that right now? And if God calls you to something, man, there's no right or wrong way to do it. You don't have to come down an aisle. You don't have to even schedule an appointment with me. Do something. And see if God doesn't bless those efforts. Let's take a moment to just simply be with Him. And then we're going to worship Him some more. Doubt that there are people in this room right now who are struggling through some very real, even unknown things. I don't doubt for a second, Lord, that we don't have it together. You do. So, Lord, I pray that we are coming after You. Lord, if there's someone in this room who is ready just to make a commitment with pursuing You at their mess of life that they're in right now, but they're ready to come after You, Lord, would You give them the courage to speak to someone about that, especially just to come to You, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would be a people that would take this time to offer You up this praise, to glorify Your name. I pray that Your words have broken through the hardest of hearts.